It's time for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 977 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Now, here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Well, we're here for another week, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined live in the Sports Talk 97.7 studio by my producer, John Tabor. If you're wondering where Beck Haynes is tonight, he's late.
Is he writing a poem?
Well, Taves, I don't think he's writing a poem.
Were we poem worthy last week?
No.
From Jay Moore?
No. We were not poem worthy.
I want a poem.
I do too.
And I feel like we will get another performance poem worthy.
And he will have a poem when we
absolutely
get a performance.
Even we got to get it sponsored.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
I want to get on that.
Beck will be here in 8 to 10 minutes because he thinks he's bigger than Bleed Tech Blue Radio. He thinks he can show up whenever he feels like it. First off, before we get into breaking down Louisiana Tech's 31-24 homecoming victory over UTEP, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse Barbecue, O'Neill Gas, and our title sponsor, First National Bank. If you'd like to reach us tonight, you can call us, you can text us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. You want to talk about it, we'll talk about it. Give us a call, give us a text, give us your thoughts on Louisiana Tech's 31-24, a little too close for comfort win over UTEP Saturday night. Also, a little programming note, Louisiana Tech head coaches Brooke Storr and Eric Conkle will talk hoops tomorrow night during a special preseason Inside Tech basketball show held live at the Doghouse Sports Grill from 6 to 7 p.m. and heard here on Sports Talk 97.7. So, big show tonight. Plenty to talk about. Like I mentioned in the open, Louisiana Tech beats UTEP 31-24. The Dogs are now 5-2 in 2018, 3-1 in Conference USA play. They remain one game behind UAB in the Conference USA standings after the Blazers proved their worth, picking up a big 29-21 victory at Legion Field Saturday night against North Texas. Coming up later in the show tonight, we'll have an interview with Ken LaVica, Florida Atlantic play-by-play man, as Louisiana Tech travels to Boca Raton Friday night. It's a Friday night kickoff, 5:30 p.m. Central Time. Louisiana Tech, Florida Atlantic, big Conference USA matchup. So Ken will join us at 6:45 to preview the matchup. Certainly a lot going on in Louisiana Tech athletics. I know I was able to get over to the Davison Athletics Complex this afternoon. Skip Holtz, Colin Scott, O'Shea Dugas, Eric Conkle, and Brooke Storr. Yes, you heard it correctly. Eric Conkle and Brooke Storr, the two head coaches of the Duncan Dogs and Lady Texters, all spoke with the media. We'll have some news and notes on that in just a second. When you look at some former Bulldogs in the NFL this weekend, probably the surprise of the weekend when you look at Jeff Driskel makes his NFL debut. The Bengals actually were on the short end of a 45-10 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Driskel makes his NFL debut, going 4-4, 39 yards. Also had one rush for 5 yards. So nice to see him make his debut. Trent Taylor catches one ball for 6 yards for the 49ers. He'd actually missed the previous week due to his back injury. So good to see him healthy. Hopefully he can see his production continue to tick up. The further we get into the NFL season, Vernon Butler also had three tackles in the Panthers' win over the Eagles. Not good for my New Orleans Saints that the Panthers won, but I can't say that I'm upset when the Philadelphia Eagles fall. So, real quick, question on the text line from Colin, our good friend Colin. He has actually three questions for us. Why is our offense so awful? Why can't our offense and defense be good in the same year? Is it time to find a new O-line coach? Colin, I'm glad you posed these three questions for us because these were three topics that I have planned for us to break down in the next segment when we recap the game. Oh, Beck, nice to see ya.
Hey, BC, it's good to be here. Sorry I'm a little late.
Hey, your time. Your show.
Yeah.
We're here for you.
Yeah, it is. I appreciate you carrying the weight till I got here.
Yeah. Well,
woo! Out of breath, BC.
Hey, well, just let our listeners know, if you want to see Mr. Haynes dressed to the nines, you can watch us live, www.facebook.com/sportstalk977. Mr. Haynes will carry us throughout the night. Beck, did you notice the Dogs' 31-24 win over UTEP?
Yeah, a little too close, BC.
A little too close.
I'm gonna be honest with you. We're gonna talk about it. You seem to still think it's not Jamar's fault. We'll get into that.
Oh, we're talking Jamar tonight.
So not poem worthy.
Not. Oh gosh. If anything, it's like a poem about how just extremely average.
Even a haiku.
No, I got nothing to taste.
Beck doesn't even know what a haiku is.
I do know what a haiku. There's some rhythm as far as the syllables. I can't really get into it tonight, BC.
Yeah, well, hey, it might would be the perfect form of poem because when Jamar is not in rhythm, he's not very good.
That is so true. He's like a box of chocolates, Ben. But I will say, I'll give him this, Ben. I've said it before. He's not going to win us the game, but he ain't going to hurt us that bad either, which is, you know, some people that...
I think my main question for you tonight is this. Are you happy we won?
I'm happy we won. Was I happy watching that game? No.
Well, how much did you watch?
Well, Ben, I'm gonna be honest. The first half, I was chasing around my daughter. We got to have the pleasure of sitting in the DAC.
Yes, we did.
Which was a little higher than our usual end zone spot.
It was. It was a nice view.
Nice view, great food. I was chasing around a one-year-old for the better part
pretty
of the first...
Quick.
Yeah, she's quick. Yeah. For the better part of the first half, and then, you know, I'm gonna be real honest here.
Give me the average fan.
I'm just
bring
gonna
it
give
out.
The average fan. The weather was cool. There was a north wind, and I was pretty disappointed. I told you that if we were up by 30 at half, I was
yeah,
leaving.
We weren't,
and I still left.
Did you kill a deer?
And I did. I did get the deer I was after, but it wasn't Saturday night, so I don't know how. Well, I don't know if it's even justified. I guess I apologize for my average fandom, but.
Well, congrats on being an average fan.
Thanks.
Congrats on pulling in a deer. You can actually put some food on the table.
That's right.
I know us at Bleed Tech Blue Radio, yes, your check will be cut in half for showing
yeah,
up late.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's good that the deer meat's on the table.
Gosh, Ben. Now, but, I mean, you just, I did get in the stand and watch it on my phone, if that's anything.
Oh, well, I'm glad that you said that. After I got hammered last week for saying our special team.
Okay, yeah, so I get on the deer stand, and the first thing I see when I crawl up there, pull out my phone, is I get a text from Ben about a dandy 27-yard punt. And I just thought to myself, this is coming from the guy that said we were, what, B-minus? Is that what you said?
Yeah,
okay, that's what I thought, Ben. A little 27-yard punt.
Beck, we're going to break this game down in its entirety in the next segment, but... I'm with you. This was too close for comfort.
It was terrible, but we said it again and again. Like, Tech does that.
They play up and
they
play down.
I do think Skip's right when he says they're 0-6, but they're respectable. They're not a bad 0-6.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because I went to the press conference today, and I think the funniest thing that Skip said, I don't even know if he was trying to be funny, but I got a tremendous amount of humor in it. He said that he had fans yelling at him that,
oh,
UTEP is 0-6. You should be killing the Miners.
As a coach, that's got to be – you got to be frustrated.
Oh, it's so frustrating. And, like, I totally understand a fan yelling that. But UTEP, like, they're not good. I'm not here to say they are good.
But the last three games they've played have been – pretty good and significantly closer.
Yeah, and, like, they played North Texas pretty close. Is that any excuse for Tech not playing well Saturday? Absolutely not.
It's two games in a row that the Texans look just terrible at home.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, come on.
Yeah, like, oh, I agree.
Don't be yelling at that coach, because the average fan, if it was Beck Haynes.
Trust me, he knows. He knows they're 0-6. He knows they're not playing the way they want to play.
And trust me, he's not on the sideline like, hey, let's let this game be as close as possible.
Let's tell Jamar to start throwing with his dominant hand now, because this fan just yelled at me.
Well, that'd
reminded
be something you
me,
would say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe.
And you know, you talk about us sitting in the DAC, and the funniest thing of my entire – or actually, I'm going to get to my funniest thing in a sec. We're completely going off the rails in the first segment.
It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
That's right. So I'm sitting in the DAC, and, like, it's 3rd and 17, okay? And Jamar has, like, 42 seconds to sit in the pocket, and he's scrambling to his right. Keep in mind, I said 3rd and 17. And there is, like, the entire DAC section is like, just run it.
Of course.
Just run it. And, like, I understand it completely. But then the play ends, and the guy goes, he could have at least picked up 4 or 5 yards. And I'm like, it's 3rd and 17. I don't care if he gets 4 or 5 yards.
Well, the other thing
you
got to think about is that the view we have from the DAC, when there's a hole, it looks like there's 65 yards in front of him.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're at the end zone, you know, view. So, I heard that, too. And people, they just...
I love
And if I know anything about you, it's that you love that. You just love to hear it. You invite that kind of behavior. And
well, I love to hear it just because, like, a lot of games, like, for a majority, we're on the sideline, and so we're not as a fan. Like, we were doing the same thing, like, 3 years ago.
Right.
Whereas this year, like,
we have a... I was chanting Jamar when Higgins was playing bad.
Yeah, you were.
Like, I know better. Like,
now.
I know. And I mean, if I had known what I knew now, Ben, wow.
Yeah.
I'd have a Higgins tattoo on my back.
And let me get to you my favorite thing from the game. So, late second half, like, you know, it's tight ball game, and... You know, I've moved on to the side or onto the west side on Tech's bench. I'm about halfway up on the 45. And this lady, and God love her, like, she had an incredible amount of enthusiasm for the Dogs. And she starts trying to get the We Are Bulldogs chant started. And, like, we can go and talk about what we think of the We Are Bulldogs chants. That's not the point.
Yeah.
But, like, there was about 5,000 people left at this game.
Not the optimal time for that chant.
And there was about 32 of them that were real enthusiastic at the time. But, man, she got it going. And
I mean, good for her. The way Tech was playing.
It gave me a lot. I mean, it encouraged me to be like, you know what? There are some that care.
Right.
Regardless of the score against a team that we should beat with relative ease. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was the highlight of my afternoon in an otherwise frustrating afternoon.
It was almost laughable. I mean, the performance in general, it's so much left to be desired. It's kind of like you can sense the frustration / like, ha, here we go, you know, in the crowd. Did you feel that in the atmosphere at all?
No, without a doubt. You know, I felt that in the crowd, and like, I don't blame the crowd for being that way. Like, that's totally understandable.
Especially given our last two performances at home.
Absolutely. We have another text on Facebook Live from my boy Donald Johnson. Have the new boxes taken people away from the stands? What is going on with attendance? Being in the stadium was lackluster and sad. Donald, perfect question. Coming up at 6:30, I'm breaking down the attendance issues at Louisiana Tech, and I'm going to give my honest opinion on what I think about the attendance issues.
It's bad.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm part of the problem. I'm going to be honest. I was at the game. I started at the game.
Yeah, you did, but you didn't end. So, before we get to our first time out, Eric Cockle, Duncan Dogs, pick up a commitment this week. Xavier Armstead, McLennan Community College in Waco, Texas, 6'5 wing, commits to the Dogs. 15 points per game as a freshman, 47% from three. I know he's a guy that the staff is really excited to get on campus. Early signing period for college basketball is quickly coming upon us. I think it starts November the 14th. So that's really where we're at. When we come back after this break, we're going to break down 31-24. Louisiana Tech beats UTEP. Beck's not happy. I'm kind of happy. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426 or find them on Facebook. Get on the Express at Fairway Carts. The new EasyGo Express electric 4x4 is now in stock, and it's what you've waited years for. A silent four-wheel drive cart that seats four and has the power and torque you need. With trail tires, brush guards, and a whole lot more, Express is engineered to help you have a better hunt. The EasyGo Express electric 4x4, coming soon to Fairway Carts in Minden. Come by Highway 531 just north of I-20 or call 800-960-CART.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards Hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. Lead Tech Blue Radio, Louisiana Tech 31, UTEP 24, in front of 18,972 fans for homecoming.
How many?
18,972 minus 8,000.
I was going to say, how many were actually there?
Yeah, so, all right, let's get into this matchup. Okay, do you want to hit the positives or the negatives first? I'd probably like to hit the negatives
first.
Well,
let's just do whatever you want to do, Ben. It's your show.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So here we go. I'm going to look at the negatives, and I'm going to see what you thought. See your thoughts on all these negative things that played out over
the course
of this
year. Are these your negative things or like just factual negative things?
These are factual negative things with a hint of BC's opinion.
All right, hit me.
Tech's offense sputtered for most of the afternoon against UTEP. Only accumulated 325 total yards. They go 1 of 10 on third down. That's after going 8 of 15 the prior week, okay? But Tech did not face a third down that was less than 7 yards until the fourth quarter. That tells me that they're not doing enough on first and second down in order to be successful on third down.
It sounds a lot like the UAB game.
Yeah, exactly. Jamar completed 60% of his throws. Decent, not great, not terrible.
Do you have stats on, like, what percentage of those throws are more than like 5 yards?
Yeah, I don't know, but good question. But
because we know that Tech does a lot of those swing out passes, yeah, whatever you call them.
But I got more to add.
Okay, sorry.
I thought Jamar was extremely indecisive in this game. And let me ask you something. When we talk about Jamar in the passing game, can we both agree that he is indecisive?
Yes.
Okay.
And it traditionally, which I think this is an interesting game because I, listening to Skip's press conference and looking at some of the post-game stats and stuff, it seems to me that the offensive line did a little better this game.
Okay. We're going to get into that in a sec.
But listen, let me finish.
All right.
Traditionally, it's been pretty easy to tell if Jamar don't have time, which I think is probably pretty standard for most quarterbacks in the country. If you don't have a lot of time to throw the ball, he's infinitely worse. But when Jamar's protected, at LSU he was protected.
Yeah.
North Texas was okay. Southern he was protected. Like he does so much better. That's not a surprise. But That's usually what it's – indecisiveness, not having enough time, that's usually what you've been able to point to. This game, it just seemed like indecisive. Now, Skip touched on he had a little injury in the beginning of the week, didn't get to practice as much, didn't get the reps that he should have got. He thought that had a
– Man, you watched the press conference.
I watched the press conference, Ben. I mean
– All right, let me get to my point, though. We talk about his indecisiveness a lot when it comes to passing. And so we hear a lot that why doesn't he just take off and run and scramble? And I've been thinking this week, why doesn't he? Well, if he's indecisive throwing the ball, he's also indecisive when it comes to scrambling. That makes more sense. Like, he's indecisive when he doesn't have a clear-cut pre-snap, I'm going to the slant, then I'm going to the cross, then I'm going to the post. If things get off kilter and he has to get outside the pocket, he has a tough time making that decision. Hey, I'm about to take off and I'm about to run. And I think that's where if he's going to be used effectively in the run game, it needs to be more designed runs like we saw in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, there's almost, it seems like there's almost no designed Jamar runs.
There's not. And I understand both sides of it. You don't want your quarterback hurt. But at the same time, when Jamar has a clear-cut design run, I think he runs better.
Right.
You look at the fourth quarter. He audibles on fourth down, and he knew what he was
doing. I knew you were going to love that. As soon as that happened, we had conversations in the group message about whether that was Jamar or Skip that called that play. Came out today, whatever, yesterday, that was – Jamar audible out of that, and I just thought to myself, Ben has got to be just doing a little happy dance over there.
I'm not doing it. My favorite part of it was him taunting UTEP.
Oh, I love that. I got no problem with
that. Me neither.
Especially if you are the one that audibled out.
Yeah.
You didn't do what Coach Dad said. You just, it's my team.
Exactly. And I like the confidence, like Holt said, shows some maturity out of him. And a lot of Tech fans have asked me, what kind of freedom does Jamar have in this offense to alter the plays? Holtz was asked that question today at the press conference. He doesn't have complete freedom to survey the field when he gets to the line and call whatever play he wants to call.
Granted, yeah, and there's not a lot of quarterbacks that do.
No, but he does have the power to identify a blitz. And
so is that like a you got a package, you may change protection a little bit, slide the running back over to the other side. Is it like a three plays kind of a deal?
And I think it's more than three plays. I think that, you know, when you go into a game, you have some hot reads with your receivers. You have some hot things with your running backs. And he has an opportunity to shift a slant from the right side to the left side. Or like you said, he can shift the protection. He can move the running back around. And I think he is showing some progression in that area. That said, the rest of his game is not progressing, and I'm not satisfied with it. But you will write a haiku the next time he goes off.
I don't think I will.
Beck, it's time to move on from Jamar. I know you like talking about him, but it's time to move on.
I'll agree with that. He hadn't even been that worthy of affecting the game that much.
No.
Now, I think I would like him to, obviously, I would like him to affect the game more in a positive way, but he hadn't affected it so much in a negative way that I think you're right. I think it might be time to move on.
Yeah.
But.
You have something about him where you like to talk about him.
No, because you said he was going to be all conference and he was going to be so much better than last year.
Five games to go.
You're right.
And a whole season next year.
It's a two-year bet. Yeah, but if he doesn't get it the first year, I get my $1,000 early.
No, you don't. Anyways, you mentioned that you thought the offensive line played well. So I went and looked at the Pro Football Focus, and I'll be honest with you. The offensive line performed pretty well. But looking at the opposite side of it, UTEP rushed three guys for a majority of the day. They had two pass rushers, their defensive ends, that graded out over 90. You know what over 90 is?
Elite.
Elite. You know who else is elite? Joe Flacco. They were elite. So
This game they were elite.
Yes. So he had more pressure than he should have had.
With a three-man rush.
So I do not think that the offensive line played all that well, especially when you consider the fact Dancy had a 45-yard run, Jamar had a 44-yard run. Other than that, Tech averaged 2.3 yards per carry.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, I don't think.
Is Dancy 100%?
Yes. I don't think Jaquiz Dancy is exactly hurting the offensive line.
Well,
I think he makes guys miss and helps the offensive line.
Right, I agree. Now, what about injuries on offensive line? Oh, we had half the team come out
Tech
of the game.
Tech played five offensive tackles in this
and
game.
And one of them was a tight end, which I didn't even know Tech had a tight end. Traditionally,
well, he's really a tackle, but he plays tight end for Tech.
So he had to come in and be the fifth
tackle.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Insane.
They might only have like seven total tackles.
So what, what is it, Ben? Like, is it a complete game? Okay, I'll tell you this. I'm just going to, spoiler alert, the reason we won that game is 45.
Oh.
100%.
Sack
daddy. Here's my thought. Last year, what were we, 1-3?
1-4.
1-4 in the close games?
Yeah.
We're 3-0 because of Sack Daddy, 100%. He was absent last year. He was pretty much a non-factor besides his name. That's what scared teams was his name. This year, he is totally dominant. That's why we are 3-0 in close games.
You are bringing the heat tonight,
just,
and I love it.
I just got so much confidence in that.
Beck, we hear all the time, hey, I can't go to the Tech game because the offense is boring. And, like, I understand that argument. I do. Like, I'm realistic. I'm like the rest of you. But I go home, and I'm talking about that, and you know my wife.
I know her.
Lovely lady that she is. I'm like, you know, the offense isn't fun to watch, but do you think Tech is intriguing to watch? And she says, Jalen Ferguson is worth the price of admission. And let me tell you something. She ain't beating the doors down to watch college football every Saturday. But I'll also say the two games that she has really watched with intense focus, North Texas and UTEP.
Pretty good games for her
Sack
to watch.
Sack Daddy.
Sack Daddy both times. You tell her to tune in every week. Yeah. He'll keep doing that.
So, I agree with you. Jalen Ferguson,
he is the difference. Yeah, he's the difference in those games.
He was not going to let Tech lose on that
right,
last
try. Which last year, that was the part of the problem. Last year, we were debating whether Jamar, and you were like, oh, Jamar was 0 for 100 the first three quarters, but he led a game-time drive.
Ben,
that's what
you love to say, Ben.
You
will love this on the Facebook hotline, whatever you want to call it, Facebook comment. Ben, hang in there. You might get one game you can talk about Jamar, and it will be Rice.
I love it. You are holding out for that just to come in here beaming with pride. Your first game was Southern. You kind of did it at LSU. Heck, Tabes over here could have thrown for 300 yards against Southern, okay?
Yeah, he could have.
So that don't even count. LSU, after that game,
you were
I kind of wanted to give Jamar a hug. I thought he played great.
Yeah.
Moving on, though. I'm done talking about him.
All right, some other positives in this game now that you've had your spill on Davin Dyer. The punting game must improve. Le'Jarius Sneed, a big pick six. I know he got beat a couple of times in the game. But
yeah, Sneed's one of those guys that, you know, we talk about him on the text message, on the personal text line during the game.
Yeah, personal text line.
And I'm always like, I'm either cussing him or, like, he does something amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
That pick six was awesome.
I know.
And a couple of plays later in that game, you're like, what the hell are you doing?
I know. And Skip mentioned in the press conference, you know, somebody asked about Amik not being on some watch list. Well, we talked about that last week. Tune in. Go listen. Download the podcast. It's great.
We've already broke
it
down.
Skip did say, well, now the guy that last year they were throwing at Amik because he's this little freshman, blah, 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 throw at him. Well, they made him pay. This year they're like, we ain't throwing to Amik, but Sneed over here. So, I mean, he's had plenty of opportunities to make some plays, and he's made some great plays. But he also hasn't made some plays. But he just, you know, I don't know. Every time I go to say something, he does something amazing. So, that was a great pick six.
That was a pretty phenomenal pick.
Somebody, I don't know who it was. Somebody should have had another one later in the game.
Another question on the hotline. When are you going to address the elephant in the room and that the offense we are seeing is Skip's responsibility? We're going to hit on that in the last segment.
You're just making these people tune in the whole show.
No, I really had that in my notes. We are going to hit on that in the last segment. So, all in all, my biggest takeaway from this game, Tech won. Yep. Was it a complete game? Not a chance. Will we see a complete game against FAU? Who knows? I expect us to play better because we play up to the competition.
And on the road, we've been dominating.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't like to sleep in a hotel bed?
Boca Raton.
Yeah, right on the beach. But anyways, when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about some attendance issues at Louisiana Tech and around the country. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Sports Talk 977 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you know has been injured in an accident or has been the victim of medical malpractice, do what thousands of others have done. Go Guerrero.
We're stirring up some scary deals at Brennan Dodge during Ram Power Days with huge savings on the all-new Ram trucks. Save $8,000 on 19 Ram 1500 Crew Longhorn. Save $10,000 on 19 Ram 1500 Crew Laramie. Save $10,000 on 19 Ram 1500 Crew Bighorns. And get an 18 Ram 2500 Crew 4x4 for just $35.9. Don't miss scary good deals at the all-new Brennan Dodge, I-20 Service Road, Ruston.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes, my good friend Beck Haynes. And Beck, I almost didn't want to go down this rabbit hole tonight. Attendance issues are always a dicey subject that you can sometimes step on some toes that you don't want to step on. But
after all,
I'm a professional.
You are, but after all, our fans
are not doing their job.
Well, I was going to say is what keep us going, but you're right. Go ahead.
Listen, yeah. I'm not going to sit here and bash the Tech fan base, but I think it needs to be addressed.
Well, just say what you need to say, Ben.
Listen, and Louisiana Tech is not the only program in the country that's having attendance issues. It's happening everywhere. From Alabama all the way down to the Citadel. Like, everyone is having attendance issues. And I went and looked at Tech's average attendance through three home games this year. 20,293 fans. I went and looked at seven home games last year. 20,375 fans. Those were the announced attendance figures. Now, I know the old argument that announcing tickets sold should not be the way to go, but also found that the NCAA allows this to happen, which to me, that's almost a way of encouraging it so that their sport looks
better.
Well,
it looks good. Yeah, I was going to say it doesn't hurt anybody to not do that. It benefits everybody to say there's more people at the games.
Exactly. So, but when you talk about that, listen, I don't have a problem with it, but studies show that really only 71% of people are actually at the game compared to the announced figure. So that would mean that Tech really is only averaging around 14,408 people a game. And I could argue, especially in the second halves of games, there are fewer people than 14,408.
Right.
Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So let me ask you this. And I take a lot of shots at you on this show. At dead gummit, you deserve it most of the time.
All right.
But I want to say this. You're the common fan, okay? You went to Tech. You're a Tech graduate. You love Tech. You have no means to you don't want to support any other universities.
Right.
The word "we" would never come out about another university from you.
Right.
But you're not a diehard fan.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right. Well, just in my history, I don't have the history. Like, I didn't follow Tech before I got to Tech.
Exactly.
And I care about Tech. I'm involved in Tech now. I just don't, like, I'm not going to, like, not wear a shirt unless it has a Tech logo
on it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah, like, you love Louisiana Tech.
Oh, love them.
Exactly. Okay, so we're clear. I'm not taking a shot.
No, you're not. No shots there.
Now, when you go to a Tech football game, okay, like, what are some things that intrigue you? Are you looking for, like, some sweet chili cheese nachos? Are you looking for an offense that scores 50 points a game? Are you looking for some sweet on-field activities during the game? Or at the end of the day, quarters 1 through 4, you don't care what happens as long as Tech gets a win?
Okay, so I'll say this. I don't care about on-field gimmick stuff. I don't care. Like, I'm the person that is frustrated by the timeouts. And
yeah,
every time there's a change of possession, it's 5 minutes before the ball or the game plays again. I don't care about stuff during the game. Before the game, the tailgating's fine. I mean, I'm probably honestly a little more like, I like that I can park pretty close. And, you know, we both have kids and stuff. And so if it's not like an all-day deal or whatever, we'll go 2 hours, hour and a half before the game. You know, like, that's fine. What really – the food, I'm not mad at the food. And the lines aren't long. You can't say that's the problem.
Yeah.
What I really get frustrated at is the lack of fan atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go to a game and feel like I'm at a high school game.
Yeah.
And the Joe is a big stadium. I mean, it holds – what's the
about
capacity?
27,000.
27,000. Okay, not big compared to, like, other schools, but, like – If there's 15,000 there, it looks super empty.
Yeah,
We haven't had one single game this year that it's been like, this is a good crowd. I get the weather's been bad, and I get we've only had 3 games. Like, I get that. But last year, the start of the Mississippi State game, the first game of the season, which I understand was like the new press box and all the unveiling and everything, like, there was some good crowds.
I agree.
We ain't had that this year.
I agree.
Okay. So, to me, the most frustrating thing, I don't care about the gimmick stuff. I do love the Blizzard and Cone race for Dairy Queen.
You love
fires,
DQ.
Fires me up every time. But I don't care about any of the other stuff. I want it to be loud, and I want fans there. That's what, because I want to watch
that
football.
That makes it more fun for
yes,
you.
Yes, I want to watch football. I don't care about anything in between the football except for the fans and the loudness and, like, cheering. That's what I like.
Okay, and I'm glad you said all that. I just wanted to know your opinion. We didn't talk about this before the show. I didn't have a clue what you were going to say. But I think we can both agree. At the end of the day, the attendance is dwindling.
It's not been good.
No. And the question that we all ask is why? And I think that it's a culmination of a lot of things. Louisiana Tech fans are certainly accustomed to pulling in 40, 45 points a night, and that seems like the regularity. And I understand that. Do we have a call? We do. Let's go to the hotline. Our good friend Robbie and Chalmette is back. Week 8. What you got for us this week, Robbie?
Hey, what are you saying? It's Robbie and Chalmette. What y'all doing up there, boy?
Oh, man, you know, just broadcasting on Facebook Live, doing a little radio.
Well, you know, I mean, I missed it this week. We didn't get a W. You know, Skipper and Timmy and the boys kind of let me down a little bit. So, I talked last week. I may fly up for the game. But, you know, it's a lot nicer catching reds. And trout.
Yeah, I saw you had a good weekend on the fishing front there, Robbie. I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, it's good, but you can go in and watch the game in my camp, you know, in your bathrooms right there. But I tell you what, I heard that, you know, some majestic creatures were shot and rusting over the weekend, you know, some pet deer and stuff. I don't know who may have done that, but I think, you know, to fill the stadium, we got to put some more points on the board, make it a fan-friendly atmosphere, which is getting there. Tommy and them are doing great. I do like the Dogs this week against the Fighting Lane Kiffins. I like the Dogs. I like the Dogs every week. You got to take them. If you take them every week, you're going to net out. You may not get it by a charter, but you'll net out. But, yeah, that's all I got this week. But bet the dogs. You'll over the year, you won't lose. You won't lose. This Robbie is Sean Miller.
Thank you, Rob. We appreciate the call. I think what Robbie was trying to say there, there's a lot of people hunting, Ben.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Okay. Yeah. I think that's what he was trying to say. Robbie was fishing. People were hunting. I was hunting.
Back.
I mean, what? How does that play into – am I getting ahead of you here?
Yeah, you are. Okay. Back to this ticket discussion. Great call by Robbie. I love Robbie every week. Take the dogs. Take the points. You'll win. You'll net out, as Robbie says. Okay, but you look at Tech's ticket prices. On the west side, I know your wife had some friends at the game. We were walking to the deck. You said they had to drop $72 and there's two adults.
Right.
Now, I get it. You can sit on the east side for cheaper, but
– nope, I mean
– you're a like
once most, you go west side, you don't go back to the east.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
West side, strong side. So $36 a piece on the west side, $19 on the east side.
This is an interesting discussion. We haven't talked about ticket
prices. No, west side is $36 a piece. West side youth is $19. East side adult is $25, which is reasonable. An east side GA ticket is $21 for an adult. And an east side youth ticket is $16. What is a youth ticket? I ain't got a clue. I couldn't find it. But $72 for two folks is high. Yeah. Now, if you have a family of four or five, like, you're dropping Benjamins.
Yeah.
And you ain't dropping just one.
Right.
Especially when you get the popcorn and the Coke and the cotton candy.
That's right.
And the Chick-fil-A. But do, like, would lowering the ticket prices increase your number of fans? I don't think it would.
I don't think so either. I don't think that's the issue here. Because most games, Ben, you and I do this or used to do this.
Yeah.
It was like we never were worried about tickets because it's like somebody always had extras.
Exactly. And so then I asked a question. I hear this raised all the time. Would selling beer or alcohol in the stadium increase attendance? For the common adult, okay, like me and you, like I'm not showing up to a football game because we can drink a beer.
Right.
Like that's not why I'm going. Now, when you look at the Tech students, oh, good Lord, yes.
Yeah.
Like, they're staying until you quit selling.
Right.
Okay? And this isn't a huge moneymaker, I wouldn't think, by any means, but that would get the students into the game. Will this ever pass? That's not for me to debate. But that's something that I think would affect student attendance.
I think it would affect adult attendance. Maybe not adult attendance, but it would affect them staying longer.
And I think it would affect maybe
Taves, you got an opinion?
Some engagement. I think it would affect the engagement.
I think it would. People wouldn't leave it before half.
Okay, but here's my main issue. My issue is with Tech students. When you and I were in college, okay, when we had to watch Sonny Dykes' offense in year one, it was like watching a car trying to drive 70 down the interstate on four axles. No tire.
Oh, got it. Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It was a glorified train wreck. You don't like my reference?
No, I don't even want to correct it. Just keep going.
Well, good. You don't need to correct it because that's beside the point. But guess what? Every week I felt like we almost had to get in the stadium 40, 45 minutes before the game to get a decent seat. Am I correct?
Yeah, except it was an hour because I always complained about it. And you were like, yeah. No, we're going in an hour before to stand in the 100-degree heat with the sun beaming down.
How about them dogs? What has changed? The student section on Saturday wasn't three quarters.
Oh, we
full.
Haven't seen the student section be half.
And
of
it was
what
half
it was.
Empty by the third quarter.
Yeah.
Hey, Tech students, if you're listening, you have nothing else to do.
Yeah.
They're 5-2. Show up and support your team. Get to the game. These are kids that you go to class with. Beck, how many players did we have classes with?
A bunch.
Like probably four or five in some classes.
Yeah, if you're in the school of business.
Yeah.
And you're like, doing homework for half the team.
Yeah.
Go to the game.
Well, and, like, this isn't Alabama where you're not exposed to the players very often. Like, you see these guys walking through the quad with the Lady of the Mist each week. My issue with Tech's attendance issues are with the students.
Not the adults.
I understand the adults' point of view.
Yeah.
Like, if you're bringing a family of four or five, it's not the easiest thing in the world to get over here. Heck, you and I have families of three, and it's hard enough to get them to drive 2.5 miles to the game.
Right.
Like, it's difficult to bring a family over here. But this team is 5-2, and I understand that Rice and Western Kentucky are left on the home slate, but Tech students need to step up and take responsibility for creating a true home field environment. When the students are engaged, the west side of the stadium, which is traditionally alumni, will be more apt to join in.
Right.
So that's my beef with attendance. I understand why it's down, but I don't have to like it, and I'm placing the responsibility on the students. If you've got a problem, you can call us, 888-993-7762. I'd love to talk to you.
I think the first two games we understood because of the weather. But last game was, I mean, you and I were commenting, like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
And it was homecoming. Oh, it was horrible.
Just irritated the fire out of me. Anyways, when we come back from the break, we'll talk with FAU play-by-play man Ken LaVica. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Hey, DQ fans, think you know all there is about the DQ $5 buck lunch? Well, think again, because now this lunchtime favorite is even bigger, with even more options to choose from, like the deluxe cheeseburger, chicken strips, new crispy chicken salad, and the new KC barbecue bacon cheeseburger, each topped off with a world-famous sundae for just $5. Even more choices, same great value. The DQ $5 buck lunch variety menu, only at your DQ. At participating locations, this is fan food, not fast food.
First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Fall brings all kinds of fun activities to the area, and the best way to enjoy them is with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts. Whether it's tailgating at your favorite high school or college game, driving around the neighborhood with the family, or just spending time in good fall weather, an Easy Go multi-passenger vehicle is perfect. Fairway Carts has a great selection now, with new 2019 models coming in. So visit the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden, just north of I-20, or call 800-960-CART. Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle. Louisiana Tech travels to Boca Raton for a key Conference USA matchup this Friday night at Florida Atlantic, and we're joined on the Fairway Carts hotline by Ken LaVica, the play-by-play man for the Owls. How you doing tonight, Ken?
Great. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely, Ken. Just to jump things off right away, when you look at this Florida Atlantic team, I know they haven't gotten off to maybe a start that was expected. The schedule was pretty tough early on. When you look at Oklahoma, Central Florida, both games on the road. Overall, how's the 2018 season going from your perspective?
Well, it's been a disappointment. There obviously were heavy expectations, and at this point, Florida Atlantic would need a miracle to repeat as conference champions. And it wasn't only the non-conference that has been supremely difficult for FAU with that Oklahoma and UCF road matchup, but also in conference, FAU ended up starting at Middle Tennessee State and then an Old Dominion team that was just 2 weeks removed from beating Virginia Tech. FAU was able to come out of that with a win, but then you have to go to Marshall. You've got Louisiana Tech right now in contention for the West Division. And then not to mention, you go to FIU right now undefeated in Conference USA right after that. So FAU also has one of the toughest Conference USA schedules as well, doing no favors out in the West. And then you go to play a Thursday night at North Texas. So it's been a tough year. The offense hasn't been the same, and to this point at 3-4 and 1-2 in the league, it hasn't been good enough by Lane Kiffin standards.
And when you look at the offensive side of the football, you know, Jason Driscoll decides to retire after last season. Chris Robinson, the Oklahoma transfer, has stepped in his place. I know he's had some uneven performances throughout the year. Are FAU and Lane Kiffin seeing some progression out of the young signal caller?
Yeah, at home, Chris Robinson's been a completely different quarterback than the guy that we've seen on the road. He has been so inconsistent away from Boca, but at home, he's been one of the better Conference USA quarterbacks, and it's just mystifying to Coach Kiffin and the entire staff why that's occurring. Jason Driscoll's departure, someone who knew the offense, someone who was a veteran, he was going to be going into a fifth year if he came back. He's someone that learned the offense pretty quickly last year, and he knew he wasn't going to make mistakes. Now, Robinson's a different type of quarterback. He wants to try and force the ball in there. He trusts his arm, which he should. He's got a cannon, but he also has made progression errors as a redshirt freshman, as you'd expect. And so there's definitely been a learning curve that just wasn't there with Driscoll last year, which is part of the reason FAU's offense really got rocketing the final month and a half of the season.
And I know you have the opportunity to watch Devin Singletary week in and week out. He certainly burst onto the scene last year, scoring over 30 touchdowns. He's got 14 touchdowns already in 7 games. Talk a little bit about how special he is at running back for the Owls.
Yeah, he really is an NFL talent, and he is a pleasure to watch. And part of his issue this year, the yardage hasn't been there as much because teams are putting 8 and 9 in the box. And I don't care what your offensive line is like, if you're going up against that, especially, for instance, against Marshall on Saturday, where Robinson can't take the top off the defense, you're not going to have a whole lot of room to run. Singletary Saturday also had his streak of 20 straight games with a touchdown snap. So that was a little bit disappointing to see. But, man, this kid is already 13th in the history of college football in rushing touchdowns. If he decides to come back for his senior year, he very well could take a shot at the all-time rushing touchdown mark. But he has Ron Dane in his sights here. If he can put up 2 or 3 touchdowns on Friday night, he really is a special player who physically, he's not the tallest guy, but he's built like a barrel. He also, though, despite that, has a third or fourth gear. Once he gets into the secondary, you're not catching him. He really is an outstanding football player and someone who is a local success story. He went to high school about 20 minutes away from where FAU was located, and that just shows you the type of rich talent that Lane Kiffin can pick and choose from right in his own backyard.
And, Kim, when you look at the defensive side of the football for FAU, I know Chris Kiffin moved on after spending a year with his brother Lane. The defense in 2017 forced 25 turnovers, whereas this defense only has forced 7 turnovers. What's been the biggest issue on that side of the ball?
I think that it's been the secondary in particular. The corners haven't been able to get their hands on as many footballs as they did last year. They really were ball hawks last year. They forced a lot of fumbles. Jalen Young, FAU safety, he was second in the nation in interceptions, and the back end of that defense has been banged up, so that certainly has not helped the cause. And FAU has been playing from behind in the turnover margin all year long, and that's sort of the issue the defense has had. They just haven't been able to ball hawk as much. Now, they have Tony Pecoraro, who is the defensive coordinator at Southern Miss the last couple of years. He got brought in. The issue with the defense, and the numbers are not pretty, but in Conference USA on the road, Middle Tennessee State, that was a vast win for the defense. Should have won that game based on the defensive outpouring. And then against Marshall, it was 17-7 entering the fourth quarter. In Conference USA, you give up 17 points going into the fourth, especially with the type of offense Lane Kiffin thinks he has. That's a winning performance. So you've wasted 2 great efforts on the road in league play, and that's been frustrating for FAU and Coach Pecoraro.
With Azeez Al-Shaair tearing his ACL, I think it was last week before the Marshall game, how has that caused the coaches to adjust throughout the remainder of the year?
So you're going to see some undersized linebackers now for FAU. On Friday night, expect to see Andrew Soro as well as Cantrell Burden rotating in that role. Soro saw the most of the snaps against Marshall. And an interesting note about Soro, last year out of necessity and some injuries, not to Al-Shaair, but elsewhere in the linebacking core, he moved from corner to linebacker and played extremely well. There was some question how he was going to be able to do it after not playing much this season when he entered the game on Saturday, and he was outstanding. So the problem is you can probably equal Al-Shaair's production or at least his field presence, but it's his emotional presence and what he does for this team in the locker room especially that creates problems and leaves that big gaping hole. And I think that this coaching staff and this roster are going to be seeking that for the remaining five games, six games of the year.
If Florida Atlantic is going to knock off Louisiana Tech, what are some of your keys to victory?
Got to establish the run game. That's what FAU was able to do last year. And when FAU went into Ruston a season ago, that's when Driscoll was really starting to throw the ball well, and Singletary went off in that game. But establish the run, ease whoever the quarterback might be, Robinson or DeAndre Johnson, Rafe Peavy into the game, make them comfortable. But you got to establish the run, and the defense has to force at least two turnovers.
Absolutely, Ken. Well, thanks for joining us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, and looking forward to a fun game Friday night in Boca Raton.
Good to be with you.
Ken Lavica, play-by-play man for the Florida Atlantic Owls. And Beck, Coach Holtz was asked a question today in his press conference. Do you go back and look at the tape from a year ago? 48-23, Florida Atlantic beats Louisiana Tech. My favorite part of that game, listen, so Tech ends up, you know the old thing where, oh man, I got 14 seconds. I can get my field goal unit on the field
right,
in time before
right.
the half.
Yeah.
So this scenario happens for Tech. And I'm standing in the south end zone over on the end where Florida Atlantic goes to the locker room. So this play happens to Tech. Tech converts the field goal. To be quite honest, I don't think they got it off in time, and neither did Lane Kiffin. And I've never heard a coach say so many cuss words in consecutive order that he did to those officials without drawing a flag.
Over 3 points.
Yeah. When he was
at half.
It was like 28-9.
Yeah.
Oh, he was absolutely lighting them up, and my favorite part was like, his 24-year-old strength coach comes and just mans up on him and was like, hey, let's get to the locker room.
Right.
We got some adjustments to make. So that was a really rough game for Tech a year ago. Holtz talked about it. Tech put up over 500 yards of total offense. You'll love this. Tech averaged 18 yards a punt in that game on three punts.
And just terrible red zone.
Yeah, couldn't score a touchdown in the red zone. FAU only put up 400 yards of offense, but that's all they had to with all the short fields they had. Devin Singletary had a big game. Like Ken mentioned, Jason Driscoll was clicking on all cylinders at that point. I think he was 14 of 17 in this game. They pulled out a bag of tricks in the game.
They were ready.
Lane Kiffin.
He was tweeting a bunch.
Oh, on the sideline. He'll pull out a bunch of stops, and I think that's what we're going to see this
weekend. How do you prepare for a coach that, like, literally has no boundaries as far as what he'll call?
Get into a pregame brawl.
BC.
How's that sound? I wonder this. Did you hear who his new offensive coordinator is?
He's like 12, isn't he?
Actually, he's only 24. Charlie Weiss Jr. Yes, if you're thinking of that Charlie Weiss from Notre Dame in Kansas, yes, his son. Ask me if he's ever played football. No, he hasn't. Ask me if he even played peewee.
Kiffin loves him, though.
Oh, loves him. And I really think that Kiffin is missing Kendall Browse from his staff that he had, you know, Art Browse's son that
right.
moved on to Houston. I really think he misses Kendall Browse more than he may think he does, but it's a little bit of a pride issue.
Right.
And by the way, did I tell you who I requested to get an interview
yeah,
with?
Yeah, you did. I'm not surprised you got turned down either. But
yeah, Lane Kiffin turned me down.
Well, what I did say was, if anybody's going to just, you know what, heck, I'll do that. It's Lane Kiffin. So
oh.
I'm not mad at you for trying.
Hey, shoot or shoot, baby.
Shoot or shoot. You got to shoot. You should have tweeted, come to the, what do you call it? Come to the Bleed Tech Blue.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Come join us.
Come join us.
Come join us live in the Sports Talk 97 studios.
Right. Your problem was you didn't tweet him.
I know.
That's where you get
Lane
Kiffin.
Well, I haven't seen him much on Twitter now.
I know.
He's 3-4.
Isn't that funny?
Unless he's treating Roll Tide
yeah.
Roll.
Yeah, Sutton says the same thing. We haven't seen you much in the league group message since you're, what, 3-4?
Yeah.
We ain't seen you much either, BC.
Exactly. So we're going to take our quick timeout when we come back from the break. We're going to look at this FAU team in depth. We're going to also go to our text line. We're going to answer some of the hard-hitting questions as Louisiana Tech heads into a pivotal Conference USA matchup. We'll be right back.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
First National.
We're stirring up some scary good deals at Brennan Dodge in Ruston during Jeep Adventure Days. With huge savings on the Ultimate Freedom Vehicle, get a 2018 Jeep Wrangler four-door for only $30,900. Get a 2019 Jeep Cherokee Latitude, only $20,900. Save $7,000 on the 2018 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited and get a 2018 Jeep Compass Sport for only $19,900. Don't miss scary good deals at the all-new Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
For a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. Louisiana Tech travels to Florida Atlantic Friday night. Yes, that's a Friday night, 5:30 p.m. Central Time kickoff, CBS Sports Network. If you're wanting to listen to the post-game call-in show, Beck and myself will be hosting.
It's going
to
be hot.
We'll be hosting it this week.
That's it's my first post-game show,
yep.
DC.
Mark Kramer will be out on Ruston High Duties Friday night. That number, 800-830-8031. We love that raw emotion at the end of a football game. So call us on the post-game show. John Tabor, myself, Beck Haynes, we'll join you. 107.5 KXKZ. Looking at this FAU team, and Beck, one thing you know about me is I like to take a lot of shots at the media for lack of research, correct?
Correct.
When you look going into this year, the national media thought Florida Atlantic was competing for an Access Bowl. And I thought Florida Atlantic would be a solid team. I thought they would probably win the East.
You did.
But a redshirt freshman quarterback is not going to win enough to get to an Access Bowl.
But, Ben, he was what? I mean,
number five recruit.
Yeah, number four pocket passer in the nation, five whatever in the nation coming out of high school. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so people thought he'd be good.
Well, you want him to be touchdown Jesus right away?
No, I just think that maybe he might have maybe be a little more decisive than some other people I know.
Well, you do this for me, Mr. Research Man. Right. How about you go find out how many freshman quarterbacks have ever walked into Norman, Oklahoma, and knocked off the Sooners?
Oh, I didn't think that was going to happen.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what it takes when you're in the worst conference in the country. By the way, coming up in the last segment, I got some valid support for Conference USA being the worst conference in the country. You're going to love it. Looking at this FAU team, offensively, 31 points a game. Tech fans like to hate on the Tech offense. Tech averages 29. What's a safety a night? Not much, if you ask me. Defensively, the Owls are allowing 38 points a game.
Wow.
The Dogs only allow 23. Tech's a 2-point under or 2-3-point underdog, depending on the book you look at. Over under 66. Go ahead and cash me in on the under for that one. I think this one's gonna be a pretty tight defensive battle between the Dogs and the Owls on Friday night. Devin Singletary at running back, like we talked about, Ken. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's an NFL running back. He might be the best running back in the entire country. While their offense has struggled, Singletary still got 666 yards and 14 touchdowns. The young man finds the end zone, and if the young man runs wild on the Dogs, it's going to be a long night in Boca Raton. I ain't making the trip for no reason.
Can you talk about you're going to Boca Raton?
I'm kidding.
You tried to slip that one past me. What do you have to say about Tech's run defense thus far?
This is
probably the first team Tech has faced this year with like a really prominent running back. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think Tech's run defense has lapses at times. They've been really good against the UTEPs, UTSA, you know, teams you should handle pretty easily. But, like you said, this is a stiff challenge this week. I've always maintained the thing, if you take out three plays in this game, you know, they're only allowing such and such yards. Well, that can't happen. If Singletary busts two or three in this one, it's going to be hard to win. It ain't easy to win on the road as it is. Unless it's South Alabama, according to you. Looking at Florida Atlantic quarterback Chris Robinson, like you said, number five quarterback in the country out of high school, transfer from Oklahoma, redshirt
Do you know what happened in Oklahoma? Did you talk to him this week?
I think he got in a little bit of trouble. Like transferring.
Criminal trouble or like
I think it was
trouble.
Criminal trouble, but I don't think anything was like I don't think he was ever charged with anything.
I got you.
Just need to get out of town.
Yeah. I hear you.
He's from Texas. He could be playing for the Horns. He has 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Beck, you want him over Jamar?
Nah.
8? Come on. Number 5 QB in the country, son. Nothing like turning it over on the road 5 times at Marshall last week. At least he's a gunslinger.
Hey, I wish Jamar had a little more gunslinger in him. I'll be honest.
But Florida Atlantic is like where all misfit QBs
go to die.
Yeah. DeAndre Johnson, former Florida State quarterback.
Yeah. Did he never pan out there?
He got into some criminal trouble at Florida State. Went to Last Chance U, EMCC. Back at Florida Atlantic. Here's the number 12 quarterback in the country. Oh, you need another one? Rafe Peavy, number 8 quarterback in the country out of high school. He's also spent some time at SMU, but he signed with Arkansas out of high school. Like, let's just pile up the 4- and 5-star QBs, stick them on the bench, let our freshmen throw 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
Oh, they're all still there.
Oh, yeah.
So, are they just, I mean, obviously not performing in practice?
Lane Kiffin knows it all. He's your boy. Receiver Javon Durant, 44 catches, 611 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's a West Virginia transfer. Keep an eye on Willie Wright, 29 catches, 281 yards, 2 touchdowns. Slot speed guy. You'll see him run some speed sweeps as well. When I say he can fly, think of Tyreek Hill. Tight end Harrison Bryant. I hope the tight end struggles that Tech has had over the years doesn't rear its ugly head this week. 26 catches, 359 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's a really good player. I think we'll see him playing on Sundays. And if I know anything about you, he will probably end up on your fantasy team.
Oh, my gosh.
Defensively, like I said, 38 points a game. They're missing Chris Kiffin, Lane's brother who left for the NFL. Their star middle linebacker, Aziz Al-Shaair. As you can say, I'm not a pronunciation expert. He's out for the season with an ACL injury, non-contact injury last week before the Marshall game. He was the preseason Conference USA Defensive Player of the Year. Like Ken mentioned, Jalen Young, 7 interceptions a year ago, 2nd in the country at safety. He has 0 this year. Like I said, they forced 25 turnovers a year ago. They forced 7 this year. Kiffin said, you know, he was asking us, you know, by the way, Kiffin doesn't do press conferences.
I've noticed that.
He does teleconferences. How classy.
So what does that mean?
Lane keeping it classy in Boca Raton. Guys, I am on the beach. I will speak to you via teleconference.
Oh, I got you.
So they asked him, you know, the biggest difference from this year to last year. And he said last year, get this, his offensive linemen, he started the same 5 guys up front in all 14 games.
Oh my gosh! You've been just Tech asking for that.
Tech can't even get the same guys for 14 minutes, seems like. Very frustrating. But I think injuries have played a key role. Obviously, breaking in a freshman quarterback, when you're not turning teams over as well, you know, you could struggle defensively. Now, that's not to say that this is a pushover for Tech. They're right. Obviously a three-point underdog. What are my keys to victory?
Tell me, BC.
Skip Holtz, this is for you, Ben, on the text or on the Facebook Live. He must get Jamar in a rhythm early. And when I mean early, I mean on the first Tech drive, whether it's slants, hooks, quick little screen to Teddy Veal, flipping it out to Jaquise Dancy. Jamar has to get in a rhythm. We say it every week, and I get all the Jamar flack. I get it. But he is what he is. He's the Tech quarterback. When he's in rhythm early, he's fine. When he's not, he seems to struggle. Tech must find a way to get him into rhythm early. Do you agree?
I completely agree. And I think we've seen that thus far this season. When he has a good game, he comes out right away.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like after the first two drives, you just know what kind of day you're getting.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
I don't have a whole lot of faith in his. I don't know if it's him and Skip or whatever, his ability to just like turn it on.
Yeah.
It's like we know what we got.
All right. What?
I'm just praying that we continue to play as well as we do on the road. It baffles me. Maybe the team is so
disappointed. It's because we have no home field advantage.
Yes. Oh, I know. I was going to say.
It's nauseating.
The team runs out of the tunnel and there's 14 Tech students and the band over there screaming their head off.
God love the band.
Which they have gotten bigger. I mean,
hey,
say what you want.
I have a guy in the band that works for me.
Is he as passionate at work as they are in the band?
He is a really good worker. As far as his band capabilities, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But if he's anything like the rest of them, he's got some passion.
He does, man. They all got passion.
They do. So I think Tech must find a run game in this one. Ken talked about them playing undersized linebackers. Well, if the offensive line wants to prove themselves, how about you go for 200-plus on the ground against a defense that allows nearly 200?
Yeah, I'm looking for Dancy to just silence all this Singletary talk and maybe, you know, be like, hey, guys, talk about me.
Absolutely. Tech can't turn it over offensively and give FAU a short field. That's the key every week.
Right, that's the key every week, every game. The only game Tech's really had problems with that was LSU.
Yeah, and we have to realize that sometimes punting it is good, but only when Davin Dyer is good.
Okay. I've seen about 7 different punting styles.
Yeah.
Out of Tech. They need to pick one and work on it all week and just go with that. I've seen with my own eyeballs Dyer punt it out of the stadium in practice.
Really?
Out of the stadium.
It's a boot. You go to a lot of practices.
I know. I go to a lot of practices. I'm just saying, I know we can do it. And that's the only reason why I'm comfortable talking about him like that.
My final key to the game, you ready?
Yeah.
Maybe the most obvious one of them all. I don't think you can stop him, but you have to slow down Devin Singletary. If he's getting 6 and 7 yards a tote, it's going to look like the Kansas City Chiefs out there against the Cincinnati Bengals. Tech must slow down Devin Singletary. And I think they have a good chance to win this game.
Yeah, make the freshman quarterback make the plays.
Yeah, he's a gunslinger. He's going to throw it to the other team.
Snead's going to get burnt twice, but he's going to have 4 pick sixes. I mean, it's going to happen.
I know you'd prefer their quarterback over Jamar.
I would not. I didn't say that.
But Tech must force them to beat us. If Tech does those 4 things, your resident expert – Bleed Tech Blue publisher himself says that Louisiana Tech will be 6-2 coming home from Boca Raton, and the team can enjoy a trip to the beach on Saturday morning before flying home. Yes, I'll let them stay an additional night for a W.
6-2 sounds so good.
Do you even feel like we're 5-2?
No, I don't feel like we're 5-2 because we come in here. Except for the exception of 2 games, we've come in here and not been real pleased with the play. Not had a complete game. I'll say we're pleased. A win's a win. We like a win. Skip said today, not the best game, but a conference win is about as good of a feeling as you can have. So,
I think all your negative connotations really getting to me.
I just thought it would be different. Yeah. I mean, it's been different. We've won some close games.
Yep. 3-0 in one score games. Mm. 1-4 a year ago. We're going to take a quick timeout when we come back from the break. We'll wrap it up. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Hey, DQ fans, think you know all there is about the DQ $5 buck lunch? Well, think again, because now this lunchtime favorite is even bigger, with even more options to choose from, like the deluxe cheeseburger, chicken strips, new crispy chicken salad, and the new KC barbecue bacon cheeseburger, each topped off with a world-famous sundae for just $5. Even more choices, same great value. The DQ $5 buck lunch variety menu, only at your DQ. At participating locations, this is fan food, not fast food.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. Louisiana Tech on the road at FIU Friday night, 5:30 p.m. Central Time kickoff, CBS Sports Network. That's channel 158 for all you Dish Network subscribers. Beck, we're hosting the postgame show together, so I'm going to need you to watch the game, son.
I might come to your house.
Come on, baby.
Here's the deal, Ben. Average common fan over here, what does it mean for Tech if we win, and what does it mean conference-wise if we lose?
If we win, we keep pace. I was just about to get into Conference USA standings, so that was a perfect lead-in, and then I'll answer the remainder of your question. Saturday afternoon, Southern Miss goes on the road at Charlotte. Middle Tennessee travels to ODU. Rice travels to North Texas. FIU goes to Western Kentucky. UAB goes to UTEP. That UAB-UTEP is the game Tech will be watching, obviously, with Tech not holding the tiebreaker, along with being one game behind the Blazers. They need the Blazers to lose twice. Man. Maybe our friends in El Paso will pull the upset.
North Texas blew that game.
Oh.
I mean, I looked at what was the half, like
20-7?
20-7 or something like that.
Just threw them a bone.
That was one of my bets. We'll get into that later, too. But,
yeah,
man, that hurt.
Looking at last week's scores, I forgot to go over them. Marshall defeats Florida Atlantic 31-7. Middle Tennessee beats Charlotte 21-13. Southern Miss beats UTSA 27-17. FIU defeats Rice 36-17. UAB, as we mentioned, beats North Texas 29-21. Old Dominion beats Western Kentucky 37-34. Did you see the ending to Western Kentucky?
I watched and I already forgot.
It was
so bad.
2 seconds remaining in the game. Western Kentucky has the ball at their own, 35-yard line, and they throw a pass, incomplete. You would think the game's over, but Old Dominion roughed the passer. So they get an untimed down, and they're like, the heck with it. We're kicking a 57-yard field goal. Kicker boots it. Of course he misses it, but get this. Old Dominion had 12 men on the field. So we're scooting it up 5 yards. We're going to have another untimed down. So scoot it up. He boots it. What do you know? He misses it again. It's short. Old Dominion had a return guy back there. He catches the kick. He returns it all the way back to the Western Kentucky 16-yard line. We're going to overtime. Ank. Face mask on Western Kentucky. One more untimed down. The Monarchs kick it through the uprights. They're 2-6. Western Kentucky's 1-6. Mike Sanford. Oh, he's killed the program. He's killed the program.
Here's it. But, wasn't there a fumble or something?
No, there wasn't a fumble.
There was a fumble on a punt return or on the kick return.
Maybe. But let me tell you this. This firmly supports my point that Conference USA is the worst conference in America.
That's not a good.
Like, who has an ending to a game like
that? It makes for good
that?
TV, kind of, except they're all
on
penalties.
On SportsCenter.
Yeah, on, like, on Come On, Man.
Yeah.
Kind of like our third and 93 or whatever it was.
Yeah, or You Got Moss.
Yeah. Yeah, let's touch on that. I'm as big of a Randy Moss fan, straight cash homie, as anybody. But that was Rasheed Bonnet at North Texas.
Yeah, he didn't own it.
I was so – what do you mean? Well, I was watching it on the You Got Moss thing, and he said Alfred Smith goes up. And I was like, you know Rasheed was just sitting at his house like, no.
Yeah, I know. That was Rasheed Bonnet.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Last week we introduced a segment, Beck's 5 Locks for the Week.
We got no feedback on it, so who knows if you guys even like this.
But it was great. He went 3-2 overall.
Not bad. North Texas really screwed me.
Hold on. North Texas screwed him. He also missed Tech covering 23.5 because he listens to Robbie too much.
Right. Robbie got me fired
up. The three wins that he had, Bama covers the over by themselves against
Tennessee.
In
the first half. It was incredible.
Yeah. As we predicted, OU covers +8 against TCU in a blowout win.
Yep.
And then his just being the professional gambler that he is, picked Charlotte to cover 17.5 against MTSU. Easy cover.
Easy.
So, it's week 9.
I only got one Conference USA pick.
That's
in
cool.
Here because it's, you just never know, Ben. You never know what's going to happen.
That's cool. What
first one.
All right, let's hear them.
Kentucky is ranked in the teens. I already forgot what they're ranked.
Yeah, about 13.
They're 7-point underdogs at unranked Missouri.
Ooh.
That screams
cover
money. Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
I got
good.
Kentucky beating Missouri.
Good. I like
at
it.
Least covering for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I may drop 100 on that one.
Yeah, at least
100 pennies on that one for sure. Number two, Texas A&M is a 3-point underdog to Mississippi State. Oh, Nicky Fitz decided he don't know how to throw a football.
I don't think he decided. Dude has never been able to throw.
Oh, my gosh. Texas A&M all day.
Real quick, tapes. Is it time for Mississippi State to go to Keaton Thompson? And two, will he be the starter by the time the Dogs travel to Mississippi State?
I've said earlier that Thompson would be the starter when Tech plays State. And frankly, Dan Mullen should have made that change.
You're right.
Oh.
You're right.
Gosh. So Texas A&M for sure covers.
They're going to win outright.
They're going to win outright. You can even bet just on the win. I mean, it ain't even going to be close. And I think that one's at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, it is.
It is? Okay. Next, I got NC State over the Orange, Syracuse. NC State is a 2-point favorite. They going to thump Syracuse.
Yeah.
NC State is playing out of their minds.
Yeah, they got beat 41-7 by Clemson.
Except that one game.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a lock.
All right.
Fourth, I got UAB covering over UTEP 16. I think UAB is hot like fire right now.
Oh, people.
Unfortunately.
Take UTEP and the points. I don't care what Beck says.
No.
He's losing this week.
Nope.
The Blazers are going down. This is good omen for us. I'm glad you picked the Blazers.
No, I'm picking the Blazers. I think we wore UTEP down.
Did we?
Yep.
Man.
Last but not least. Actually, it's not last. Iowa. This is my upset of the week. This is the one I'm a little nervous about.
All right, upset
I think
of the week.
Iowa is going to go in to wherever Penn State is. I don't remember the town. They're going to go in.
Happy Valley.
Happy Valley. Iowa's going to win, but they're not going to cover. That's the trick.
Wait, they're favored?
No.
Oh. Oh, they're
not going to. I don't. Hold, let me look it up. It's like 6 points or something like that?
Yeah. Hold tantalizing on. Radio.
I know. It's just – anyways, my next one – I'll come back to the Iowa one. My next one, dogs all day, 3.5-point underdogs at FAU.
Oh, so you went with six this week.
Or is that well, it's five, but then, my, you know, of
you
course, I got to talk about
your
the
money
dogs.
On the
yeah,
dogs.
I got the money on the dogs. The dogs have only not covered twice. Once was last week. They've never not covered back-to-back. So, for sure, pick the dogs.
Take
me
the
and
dogs.
Robbie picking the dog. Okay, back to
Iowa. Penn State.
So, Iowa is a 6-point underdog.
So, you think
I think they're going to win by a field goal.
Oh.
So, I guess they do cover. They cover. You can bet on the cover.
Yeah. You can bet on the cover.
Yeah. You can bet on the cover.
Yeah, you're a betting
expert.
That's
what I got. So, I'm
gonna 5-0. If you come back next week at 8-2 overall.
Well, I really have 6 this week.
Remember? Oh, 9-2 overall. Then.
I'm a little nervous about Iowa, but I just got a feeling.
Then you can show up late every week. How's
I appreciate that?
All right. Louisiana Tech. It's prediction time. Louisiana Tech on the road at Florida Atlantic. Beck, start us off. Who you got?
What do you think I'm going to say, Ben?
Well, I mean, you got Tech covering, so do you got them losing by a point or do you got them winning?
I got Tech winning, and I had that at the beginning of the year.
Score.
Let's go. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair, BC.
Really?
Yep. I'm going to go 32-27 dogs.
Love it. Tabes, what you got?
I got 37-27 dogs, and I predict it. Beck will be in here with a poem next week.
Jamar goes off.
Oh, my
gosh. 303 touchdowns.
Oh, I'm writing that down, Tate.
Is that poem worthy? 303 touchdowns?
Oh, no doubt, Tate.
It'll be a one-game poem about how mysteriously.
You can't write two poems until you write one.
That's right. Tapes, listen, Tapes hasn't missed
true.
A whole lot this year.
Three touchdowns.
303 TDs for Jamar. You write a haiku because you need to find some rhythm. For me.
If he goes for four, I want a full multi-part, you know, not haiku.
Jamar,
oh,
we want a
Jamar
letter.
Ain't going for four touchdowns.
We want an editorial
you,
in the new in the
you hear
tech
that,
talk.
You hear that? Mark that tape.
I got it. All right, my prediction. Dogs 27, FAU 24. Jaquie scores the game-winning 18-yard touchdown run.
What? That's so specific.
No, it's a screen pass. That way, that'll be Jamar's
That's
third.
True.
That'll
That's
put
true.
Jamar over 300 right there.
Exactly. So you heard it. We got the dogs. We'll be back same time, same place next week.
Oh, you didn't even talk about what happens in the conference.
Yeah, I did. I said if UAB continues to win, Tech can't win the conference. Tech needs UAB to lose twice. Tech has
Otherwise,
to keep winning. Just keep winning, baby. Just win,
and if we
baby.
Lose, if Tech loses, Just we'll win. See you next year.
Real quick before we get out of here, Louisiana Tech basketball coaches Brooke Storr, Eric Conkle will talk Dunkin' Dogs, Lady Texter Hoops tomorrow night, preseason Inside Tech Basketball radio show held live at the Doghouse Sports Grill from 6 to 7 p.m. will be broadcast live here on Sports Talk 97.7. Great show tonight. For Beck Haynes, our producer, John Tabor, I'm Ben Carlisle. We'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 977 with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, Fairway Carts, O'Neill Gas, and Brister Smokehouse. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 977.
Other players have caught touchdowns
oh, yeah,
in the
yeah.
NFL. This yeah. guy, how in the world could he not have
Calvin
one?
Ridley scored in, I think, the second game of the season. He scored three touchdowns in one game. More,
yep.
He tied what he did last year.
Yep. What when you look at the lead.
It is 1-0 Boston just like that in two batters. 1-0 Boston already.
Wow. T.O., when you look at the league, there's a lot of talk about the defensive rule, you know, the changes in the rules. You can't really hit receivers downfield. You obviously can't really hit the quarterback.
Which is
what do you think about the way the game's being played? Now, obviously, these numbers, you can't even compare them to when you were certainly early in the
league. First of all, if I'm playing in today's game and they're protecting the quarterback like they're protecting them, as a player, I'm pissed off. Because how are you trying to prolong or protect this guy who's a football player?
Right.
You're prolonging him.